Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Wednesday, August 5th. We're back with you. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Sam.
We don't have a guest in the studio today. Yesterday, we had a very cute guest, a 12-year-old girl who sings amazingly nice.
Yes.
Wasn't she cute?
She was cute.
Yeah. And it's always nice to see young people starting early on in their lives, you know. And I don't know if they miss out on their childhood or not, but I guess it depends on how the parents handle it all. You know, when the kid wants to become a celebrity or even just an artist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's that. If you guys want to catch that, yesterday's show. Today we're going to have a guest on the phone. Very interesting guest, a former CIA officer. And that would be interesting to talk to about safety and security and so forth. So, good morning, Jen. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm a little tired today. I didn't sleep so well last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, Okay. Well, when people complain they can't sleep, I always offer them cannabis. But I don't offer them physical cannabis, but I suggest that they do. I'm not going to suggest it to you because it's not up your alley, but it's funny how sometimes I'll post something on Facebook. But speaking about cannabis, the amazing thing is I figured out something for my mom's back pain. She's got chronic back pain, and she complains all the time, and we're tired of hearing it. But, you know, what are you going to do? So people suggested all kinds of things, and we're going to try a pain management clinic. But someone who's in the know suggested that we use, like, cannabis-based cream, like lotion.
Interesting.
And then some pills and that have like concentrated cannabis in them.
Mm.
And so I gave her both. They said, you know, you give them both. You know, they don't really get you high. You know, there's not a lot in it. And it's got the elements that are more like medicinal than the stuff that gets you high. So my brother calls me yesterday. Oh, my mom wasn't feeling really anything and stuff. She went to bed. My brother calls me in the morning. He says, man, she woke up. She's like all like off balance. She had like night, what was it? All kind of hallucinations and stuff during the night. She wasn't happy about the way she slept, but let me tell you, Jen, the bottom line is she had no pain for the first time in a long time.
Wow, well, that's good.
I know. So now we're going to figure out how to get the dose right so she doesn't get high from it. But, yeah, that's why I refrained from letting her smoke anything, and then because it's just not, you know, when you take it for medicinal reasons, it's nice to take it in a clean way, you know, but the amazing thing is how the cream can go through your skin and create those effects.
Yeah.
You know? But for those of you who are wondering, definitely there's answers, you know. And I didn't believe in its powers to cure pain, but now I do because I've seen it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How is your mom doing otherwise?
Well, can you imagine just being around a person who talks about their health all the time? I mean, that's all it is. It's hard, Jen. It's very hard to be around, and I tell her about it, and she tries. But I guess when you have pain, it's hard to focus on anything else. But
she hasn't been back in the hospital, right?
Not back in the hospital. Her breathing is okay, but, you know, she's got all kinds of problems. If you saw how many pills she has, it's like all poison. I don't understand that, but I guess to keep a person alive and healthy, they can give you everything in the book.
Yeah.
But yeah, doctors are not happy about this cannabis thing because it takes a lot of business from the pharmaceuticals.
Right.
And, I mean, they're poisoning us to death. She's got so many pills every day. I don't know. I look at that stuff and I go, my God, you know, how can a person even survive with all that? in their body.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's sad that, like, the pharmaceutical industry is very much an industry versus trying to cure people.
Right. And a lot of people are complaining about doctors, you know, that they don't seem to act in the patient's interest. They try to stick them with things that may not be necessary. And I saw it in the hospital. I mean, when my mom was there, they keep suggesting to do different things. And it's like, yeah, because they're going to make a lot of money from each one of them.
Right.
From each procedure. So you have to, today we can't trust doctors the way we used to. I remember when I was growing up and stuff, a doctor was like God, you know. People trusted them, and they even had house visits, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
No.
Obviously, it has to be a very small clientele for you to be able to do that. But that's how doctors were. You know, today it's like they take probably 50 people a day. I don't know how they can do that. But I don't know how somebody can be a doctor anyway, because there's just so many things about it that that do not appeal to me. So, yeah. So if you need to get some sleep, Jen, I don't know what to tell you.
Thank you, I guess.
That's my advice to you.
I don't think that was advice, but thank you.
No, right?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, another scorching day in L.A. It's already...
It's like, really hot.
It's really hot today,
it's
right?
It's like uncomfortably hot.
I mean, if it's hot at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know it's going to be scorching outside.
Yeah.
So stay in the air conditioning. I really feel for the people that work outdoors when it's this hot.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you do it? You know, I can't even stand in the sun for 2 minutes.
I don't know. I don't know how they do it. I literally become a miserable person when it's this hot out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and drivers become crazy because they're impatient and all that. But, so my son texted me this morning. He's like, I had a very cool Uber ride. Since he drives Uber, he had two hot chicks in the car, and he goes, the first thing they say is, they get in the car and they go, oh my god, we have a hot Uber driver. So he was obviously happy about that and everything.
That's nice of them to say.
Yeah, and she told him she wanted to kiss him and everything. I mean, they were they've had a little to drink, he says, but at any rate, one of them forgot the phone. Her phone in the car, so he went back and gave it to them. My question is, how could he find them? I mean, he knows where he dropped them off, but, you know, they obviously go into somewhere, into a house or something. I don't know how he found them, but he did, and they were grateful. So he's hoping there'll be something out of that, you know. So, you see, all this kind of lifestyle is the domain of young people, especially in Uber. I mean, I don't remember even one older person that I took in Uber. It's always younger people. Yeah.
Well, why would they really need it? I mean, I think my uncle and my aunt have taken it like twice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know that it's really for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And many of them don't know how to use the app and everything. So, adventures can happen. I guess maybe I don't drive enough for adventures to happen to me. I'm looking for some good stories, definitely, but nothing happens. I get young, I get great people, nice people, and we talk, you know. So it's fun that way.
Yeah.
I wanted to play something. I'll do this after the interview about the Iran nuclear deal. And I posted a video, but many people probably haven't seen it. It's only a few minutes, and I'm going to play it regarding the Iran nuclear deal and an explanation of what's going on, because I think a lot of people are just taking like party lines and taking sides, and they don't really understand what's going on. I mean, he's comparing this to the time before World War II, and it's pretty convincing. So I think we owe it to the people to at least hear it, because it's going to go to Congress, and they have to approve it and everything. So people have some kind of power in preventing this from happening, but it's a bad move, very bad move.
Mm.
Do you have any opinions about it?
No.
Okay. Well, because maybe after the video.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll understand more, and then you'll know what we're up against. Right. You know, it's called appeasement, and that's when you give the other side what they want, so they won't go to war. Okay. I guess Snoop Dogg was he had money coming into Italy on him. So they seized his money at the airport. Apparently, he was found with $422,000 in cash.
Wow.
Yeah. The police took $205,000 of that. I don't know why they left him all that other, because they're saying the limit is 10,000 euros to bring in. Now, when you travel, don't you, like, check on those things?
Like,
you
know? Rules?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you take $500,000 in cash with you. I mean, what is that all about? Do you think nobody's going to harass you about it?
Right. I mean, also, why do you need that much cash with you?
Right. So he said it was to pay his performers and his crew and everything. But come on, is this how you pay? I would think you don't pay with cash, right?
Yeah.
You need to claim all these deductions and everything during tax time and everything. So, and that amount of money, I mean, maybe you'd pay $50 to someone in cash, but something's fishy here. I don't know what's going on, why he's taking that kind of money with him.
And it doesn't say? It just says he was found with it?
Yeah, and they took it, and that's what they're saying. I mean, he just said that it was, to pay to pay his people and everything. But, they put those limits so people won't launder money, you know, so they don't transfer it from one country to the other.
Yeah.
From drug money and everything. So, Yeah, he told police the cash was to pay for his band, for concerts in Italy and elsewhere. Yeah, we'll see. So, but then he left for London without his money. So they're saying they're going to investigate that, and it's not clear whether he can appeal to get the money back.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's weird.
That's a big loss.
Right? Yeah. You see, you go to a foreign country, you don't know what the laws are. I don't understand why you want to push your luck that way, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah. So you're tired, huh? You're not saying a lot this morning.
Well, I don't really have an opinion on these things.
Okay, so you come up with something, you know? I mean, I don't know what to say. But there's a story here on Kelly Osbourne and Donald Trump on The View. And I don't know exactly what. She said something to him regarding the immigrants and stuff, you know. And she says, I guess she told him, "Who will clean your toilet if you kick every Latino out of this country?"
There are a lot of Latinos here in this country that do agree
that
the immigration problem is a problem, and it does need to be addressed, and it does need to be fixed.
Okay, I didn't plan on playing this.
Making those comments, those racist comments, do not help.
And if you
kick every Latino out of this country, then who is going to be cleaning your toilet, Donald Trump?
Oh, that's not.
In the sense that, no. You know what I mean? Like, what I'm saying is,
there's more jobs to be
in LA, they always.
But
they
Latinos
don't,
are not only the
no,
only people.
I didn't mean it like that. Come on.
Isn't it great when you can't just shut it off? Whatever I try to do here, I freaked out.
That is interesting. I mean, the thing is like you get in trouble for saying anything.
Yeah.
So
that's true. But I guess when you talk to Donald Trump, you don't really have to watch your language because he's got no problem with that.
Well, but she wasn't talking to Donald Trump.
She was.
She was talking, like, I mean, in theory, was he sitting there?
He wasn't sitting there, but she was talking about him to him through that, yeah.
Well, I mean...
did you hear the host saying, oh, no, you know, like...
Right, well, that's what I mean. It's like,
yeah,
you can't say things like that Hispanic people clean your toilets.
Right.
Even though, I mean, there's stereotypes. There's shows called Blackish. There's, like, a show called Fresh Off the Boat. You know, like, there are definitely things in our time and pop culture that, like... call out stereotypes.
Right.
But you as a human can't say it.
Okay, well, Are you saying it's? Are you saying sarcastically, or
no,
you're
saying
people should not say?
No, I'm saying that like there's a little bit of a double standard.
Right, I really think there is. And, you know, talking about double standards, what I'm really pissed about is a cop was shot in Memphis and nobody says a word. I mean, you know, it's like I go on, I guess I read it in the paper. No, I saw it online or something. And then I think they talked about it on Fox News. And I'm going on CNN to read the story. There's no story on the front page about that at all. Now, this is major. I mean, if this was the other way around, you know, if this was a white cop shooting the black man, we've seen already what can happen there, you know. And nobody's justifying that this is better or worse than either one. But where's the outrage? Where's the outrage? Why aren't whites protesting? You know, and because these things are not necessarily about race. People don't understand that. You know, they want to paint it about that. But if a cop pulls somebody over and you don't cooperate, the cop's going to get pissed. So then you're going to shoot him and kill him and get away with it. But apparently he surrendered or something. So that's that. Okay, well, we're going to take our guest now. We're going to be joined by Jason Hansen. Jason, are you on the line with us?
I am, yes.
Yes, welcome to the show, Jason.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. I understand you're in L.A. now, or are you arriving in L.A. soon?
I'll be in L.A. for a course we're doing the 28th and 29th of August, so right now I'm in Utah where I live.
Oh, I see. Okay. Have you lived in Utah all your life?
No, I'm actually born and raised just outside of Washington, D.C., and moved to Utah about 3 years ago to live a more better lifestyle, not as much traffic.
Right, I can imagine. Utah would be a cool place.
You know that well.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, Utah would be a cool place to get away from it all, I guess, right?
And I set up the training facility, so we got 320 acres where we can do the driving courses and all the escape and evasion courses we teach.
Wow, wow, that's pretty cool. So tell us a little bit, you're a former CIA officer, and you have courses and everything. Tell us a little bit about that, or maybe a little
sure.
bit about your career. When did you leave the CIA?
I left in 2010, and I joined in 2003.
I see. And what kind of work, if you can talk about it, were you doing there?
The kind of work that I'd have to kill you, and then they'd probably kill me. So we'll leave it at that.
That's what I thought you'd say. Okay, so I won't ask about that anymore. All right, so you left the service, the agency, and then you decided what? What are you
going
to do?
Well, I love the stuff I do. So I love the personal protection and the safety information. And I was originally working with executives, so companies would hire me to train the CEOs who are traveling overseas or just traveling in the U.S. And once I trained a CEO, he'd say, wait a minute, my wife needs this, my college-age daughter needs this, my son needs this. So over the years, it kind of morphed into teaching everybody, because obviously all of us want to be safe.
Right.
And so I teach safety skills such as lockpicking, escaping rope and duct tape and handcuffs, some simple self-defense moves. So it's stuff that can save your life, but then it's also kind of the James Bond stuff, which is fun for entertainment value.
Right. It sure sounds like it, man. I mean, my God. So you're going to have classes in L.A. on August 28th and 29th, right?
Yeah, that is correct. I'm holding a special class, the last one I'm doing in L.A. this year, and it'll be that weekend, and we're doing all the spy stuff I just described and a whole lot more.
Right. So this is about people's safety, right? I mean, you teach self-defense and everything?
It is. I mean, it all comes down, as I said, it doesn't matter who you are, all of us want to be safe.
Right.
So I teach you some surveillance detection stuff, which sounds kind of spy-ish, but it just goes to, how do you know if you're being followed coming out of a Walmart parking lot late at night?
That's
or how do you know that guy staring at you in a restaurant is not staring at you for the heck of it or has evil intentions? So it's keeping you safer at work, at home, wherever you are.
Wow, fascinating stuff. I'd love to learn this stuff, you
Me
know.
Me too.
And things are getting, you know, not everybody has a gun, and we haven't decided that guns are the best solution either for self-defense. But I think having these skills and everything would probably increase your confidence as well in going outside of your home.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, hopefully the stuff I teach most people will never use. Right. But I had a woman, a week after she took the training, two men tried to kidnap her at a gas station in Florida, and she was able to get away because of what I taught her. So
wow.
That's obviously a great case where she's now alive because of it.
Wow. Very impressive stuff. So people actually learn this and implement this in their real life. It's not just for fun.
Right. Now, obviously, if somebody's going to try and kidnap you or harm you, they implement it. Hopefully, the only step we ever have to use is the home defense information to make sure your home is safer from burglars and intruders.
Right. So you teach that as well, right? Now, do you recommend, let me ask you this, your personal opinion, you know, without being partisan or anything, but do you believe owning guns helps people, or should they rely less on them for protection?
Sure. So I believe that obviously your mind and all the stuff I teach about situational intelligence and being aware of your surroundings, that's the most important thing.
Uh-huh.
However, I am a huge fan of guns. I love guns. I have a gun for home defense.
Right.
But the kind of the asterisk there is you've obviously got to be trained.
Yeah.
So do I think somebody who has zero training should grab a gun? Of course not.
Right.
But get a gun and get trained. And that is the, in my opinion, is the best tool for home defense. I have unfortunately had many women come and take my firearms training after something has happened where somebody's broken into a house and harmed them. And they realize the police don't get there in time. And a firearm, if you're well trained, is the best way to stop that intruder.
Yeah. Wow. Very relevant stuff. You know, I mean, it's amazing. So you do those classes, I imagine, in other places as well. Do you go around the country doing this?
I do, yep. I travel around the country. It's a two-day spy escape and evasion course, and that's the one I'm doing in L.A., and then I have another one in Las Vegas. So if people go to spysafety.com, that's the website, and they can see the last few courses I'm holding for 2015.
That's spysafety.com, and people can go there. I'm going to go there right now because I didn't have the link before. And let's see, so... yeah, very cool. So you guys can see, I guess you, so what, you've been on Shark Tank?
I have been. I've been incredibly blessed with being on Shark Tank, The Rachel Ray Show, NBC Today Show. So like I said, after doing corporate stuff for a while, it kind of morphed into the civilian world, and I've been blessed to be on a lot of shows and do a lot of interviews such as yours.
Oh, very cool. So, yeah, if you guys go to the website, there's a lot of stuff. It's not just bells and whistles. There's a lot of information from Jason. And, yeah, how would you like to feel like James Bond while learning spy secrets that could save your life? I would love that.
Yeah.
You know?
Are there any secrets you can share with us over the radio?
Let me see. What can I share with you over the radio? I'll tell you one that is not a super spy secret because I got to save those.
Okay.
But it goes back to what I mentioned about being followed.
Uh-huh.
Is I train so many single women these days, and if somebody follows you out of the mall or a parking lot, the last thing you want to do is kind of put your head down and act all nervous and shy.
Mm.
You always want to turn around and look at that person, make eye contact. Because most crimes are crimes of opportunity. If that guy sees you being shy, he's going to follow you out to your car and try and do you harm. But if you're turning around, letting him know, hey, you know, I see you, pal, I'm on to you, he's going to say, wait a minute, I'm going to go to another victim. So you always want to give that person eye contact. A real quick story, I had one woman who was being followed on a jogging path in Virginia. And she said she knew the guy was following her, and she just turned around before he got too close and said, you know, can I help you? And then the guy turned and ran away. So just... whatever way you want to confront them, don't be shy. Let that person know that you see them so they go to somebody else and not you.
Right.
If ever I feel like a little afraid of somebody that's too close walking by me, I feel like I just turn bitchy. Like I look at them and I'm like, oh yeah? What? What? Like I look like I'm having a bad day and I'm going to lash out on them.
There you go. And that's another way to make sure they go to somebody
like,
else
I'm gonna
and not
be,
you.
Right. Like I'm going to be problematic if you take me. Like you're not going to want a deal.
Right.
Do we have one more tip where I can tell you about how to become a human lie detector?
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
So So we cover that in the course. There are several different ways to detect ascension, but I'll just give you one of the ways. It's what I call the freeze. Uh-huh. So if, let's say you guys came into my office and there was a group and I was missing $500 that happened to be sitting on my desk, mm-hmm. is if I'm sitting there, you know, hey guys, who took my money? The person who took the money is the least animated. They're trying to go in a tortoise shell and almost freeze because they don't want to draw attention to themselves.
Yeah.
So I can give you a perfect example is I'm on an airplane once, and best way to say it is somebody passes gas. Let's just say it doesn't smell very well. And okay. all of us are looking around the plane. Like, my head is looking around. I'm like, holy smokes, did somebody just die on this plane? What's going on? And I notice this guy about two seats to my left and a few rows up, and he's just sitting there. Well, everybody else is looking around, but this guy's not moving. So clearly he's the culprit because normal human behavior is looking around for the smell, not just sitting there frozen.
Right.
So if you confront somebody and all of a sudden they're less animated, there's a good chance they're lying to you.
Wow. That's a good tip. That's a great tip. My question is, how does that help when you look around to see when someone passes gas? It's like, you know, I mean, yes, it's the most natural thing to do, but what are we hoping to do by that? You're not going to, you know, how are you going to see
what
the
smell is? Well, that was just an example. I'm not trying to find out if the guy's lying there. I'm just telling you how people freeze. So, like I went back to my my example, if I was missing money and I was questioning everybody, I'd be paying attention if who wasn't sitting there like, you know, Jason, I didn't take it, and who wasn't being as, you know, flamboyant, so to say, because that person would likely be the one who stole the money.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. That's interesting. So, and I'm sure there's a lot of different ways to read people in their body language that you include
in your course. There is. There's numerous techniques about detecting deception, and we do cover those in the course.
Sounds good. Now, so how can people go about going to the course, finding out more information, registering for it? Let us know. It's going to be in about a couple weeks or so.
It is. It's August, I believe it's the 28th and 29th. It's the Friday and Saturday. And it's at the Sheraton Gateway Hotel right there in Los Angeles, close to the airport. Uh-huh. And spysafety.com is my website, and it's got full details about everything that's covered during the course and also how to register.
Sounds good. And now I'm... let's see, you have a book coming out? I got something in my notes as well. Are you writing a book? Or did you write
it? I do. I have a book coming out from Penguin Books in September called Spy Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And it covers a lot of the stuff I'm going to teach during the course and just talks about here's how to escape restraints, here's how to detect lies, here's how to make sure you're not being followed, here's how to make sure your home is kind of impenetrable from home invasion. So I'm excited to have the book come out.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Me too.
When is the expected publish date on that?
The release date is September 22nd.
Oh, September 22nd. Okay, so we got about a month or so. Definitely looking forward to that. And a great compliment for the course if you guys go there. And if you can't make it in L.A. or any other city, do you have a list of other places that you go to on your website?
I do, yep. Once they go to spysafety.com, it has all the cities listed for the rest of the year.
Sounds good. So if you guys can't make it in L.A., but if you are here, definitely try and catch that August 28th and 29th. Jason Hansen with his Spy Escape and Evasion course. And that's a two-day course, Friday and Saturday. Is it pretty much like all day each day?
It is, yep. It's about 9 to 4:30 both days.
Wow. That's a lot of stuff to take in. Do you also show like hand-to-hand combat and things like that, like if self-defense?
That's very briefly in that course. Uh-huh. So in the two-day course, it's mostly about how to pick locks or how to escape handcuffs or the survival gear you need. There's three tiers of gear that everybody should have. So we do some basic hand-to-hand stuff. But there's a whole another course for the long hand-to-hand self-defense.
I see. Well, sounds great, Jason. Well, we congratulate you on everything. Much success with the book and the course. And, I'm going to try and catch that because it's fascinating to me. And I would feel a lot more safe if I knew some of these techniques, you know, because sometimes I wonder, what am I going to do if this happens or that happens? You know, so
yeah, no, you're absolutely welcome to attend as my guest.
Okay,
so I hope you come because it's very worthwhile.
Sounds good. Well, maybe Jen and I will make it there that weekend. Jason, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Fascinating stuff.
Thank you. And
kudos to you, you know, for taking all the skills you've learned and everything and passing it on to normal folk, you know.
Yeah, we all want to be safe, so I keep saying that. None of us wants to be a victim.
There you go. Okay, Jason Hansen, everybody go to, tell me again, spysafety.com.
Yep,
sorry.
That's all right, yep. Spysafety.com.
There you go. All right, Jason, well, we'll have a link for your website as well. And thanks again. All the best to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah. That's cool. You see, I'm always fascinated. I really wanted to know what he did in the CIA, but he's right. You can't really talk about this stuff. Wow. I wonder how they pick people. I mean, do you think you just like, you go and you apply, or do you think they find you, the CIA?
No, I think you apply and then you go through a lot of training and people get weeded out.
Because I'm wondering, you know, if people like that are in other services of the government, let's say maybe in military intelligence or something, do they like approach them and go, come work for the CIA? You know, you've got the
talent. There's probably elements of that.
Yeah. Because I think like in smaller places, like in Israel, I think that happens. You know, if you have certain skills that they're looking for and everything.
Right.
So it might happen. You never know. It's all secret. That's why people love secret spy novels, because it sort of like takes you into that world.
Yeah. There's a new show on ABC called Quantico. I think it's ABC. Maybe it's NBC. But it's about, you know, what Quantico is, which is like the school for CIA operatives.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never heard of
like
it.
Like how they get trained.
Is that the real name for it? Quantico?
I think so.
Really? Oh, wow. Never heard of it. Interesting. I'll have to catch that. That's like a new series?
Yeah, I don't know if it's started yet, though.
Mm.
It starts, I think, in the fall.
Mm. Okay.
Or it's to be part of the FBI, I guess, actually. Not CIA.
Yeah. I keep seeing advertisements for Big Brother. Have you ever watched Big Brother?
Nope, but I had an audition to be part of the cast once.
Really?
Yeah.
So, but you never watched it before?
No.
Really? So how did you know you'd want to be in it?
I didn't. I was approached for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. You see? So people do approach. And what happened? You didn't like it, or they didn't pick you, or what happened?
I just didn't really understand the show.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be part of it.
Yeah. I know. I've actually met a couple people that used to be on the show, and it's fascinating to hear what goes on behind the scenes and everything, you know. And a couple seasons I was just glued to the TV watching it, but not anymore. But now it's like on Facebook, and there's constant advertising for it, and I guess you can do 24/7 on the internet. You can watch everything that goes on in the house.
Interesting.
Yeah, nonstop. So.
That's part of why I didn't want to do it, because I was like, I have to live in a house that's actually a set. Right. And if I get kicked off, I can't go home.
Right.
They keep you.
Yeah, but they keep you in a nice place. I mean, it wouldn't be bad, you know.
I just didn't want to be removed.
Yeah, I know. But there's a lot of conniving and that kind of thing happening.
Yeah, they asked me about like how I would be at strategy, and I was like, I would be terrible.
Really? Okay.
I would be so bad at it. I just don't have the like interest in putting time and effort into like strategizing against people.
You see, if you had watched the show, then you would learn some of the strategies and everything. But you hadn't watched it, so that wouldn't help you any.
I'm excited for Survivor to start, though, so we can see Monica on there.
Yeah, I know. When is that starting? Do you know?
I think September.
Oh, okay. So it's coming up soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to see Monica here. Monica was on the show, a very good friend of Jen's, and we haven't seen her since, haven't heard much from her, at least
she's
about
back.
The show, right?
Yeah, she's back. She just can't talk about it.
Right. Okay, wow. Yeah, everybody comes back at the same time, so nobody knows.
Right.
So anyway, I mentioned earlier about the the Iran nuclear deal. And for those of you, because people were people are asking me, because I do post about it and I talk about it because it concerns me. So people come to me and they ask me, well, what is it about? You know, what's going on? What kind of a deal is it? Why are people opposing it and why are people supporting it? And because, look, ideally, you'd make a deal with a country like that that's building a that wants to build a nuclear weapon, and you make deals with them and you make them join the group of nations and so forth. But because a rogue state is very dangerous, like look at North Korea, for example.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants anything to do with it, and it's becoming paranoid and dangerous. So, but Iran comes out clearly and says they would use a bomb against Israel, and who knows against who else, because their goal is to be the leader in the Middle East. So, and they're not shy about that.
No.
Now, so there's a deal that's been tossed around, or they actually reached an agreement between the United States and its allies and Iran, and they decided to lift the sanctions on Iran because that was the pressure that they put on Iran to comply. So anyway, so it's a little complicated, but one of the people that I think explains everything so clearly is a person named Dennis Prager. And I don't know who else
has
heard about him. Yeah, you've heard about him?
I've seen him. Actually, he led the temple services that I went to a couple years ago for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Wow, how cool.
Yeah.
How cool. So, yeah, he's Jewish and he addresses a lot of Jewish issues, but also many that are not. But he does have the gift, in my opinion, of really explaining things in a clear way so you can understand and then make your own decision. He is a conservative, but I think you'll find from his explanation here that this is not really, shouldn't be a partisan thing. It should be something that we should all be concerned with. So this is only about 4 minutes long.
We say that evil is dark, but this metaphor is imprecise. Evil is actually intensely bright, so painfully bright that people look away from it. Many even deny its existence. Why? Because once people acknowledge evil's existence, they know they have to confront it. And most people prefer not to confront evil. That is what led to World War II and the death of 55 million people. Many in the West denied the darkness of Nazism. They looked the other way when that evil could have been stopped and then appeased it as it became stronger. We are reliving 1938, the year that democratic Western nations assured a police state, the Nazi regime, that they would do nothing to prevent its expansion. That year, the British Prime Minister, Neville Chamberlain, went to Munich to negotiate with Adolf Hitler. He left believing Hitler's promises of peace in exchange for Germany being allowed to annex large parts of Czechoslovakia. Upon returning to England, Chamberlain announced, "Peace for our time." The 2015 agreement between America, Europe, Russia, China, and Iran mirrors 1938. The Nazi regime was a police state. The Islamic Republic of Iran is a police state. The Nazis' greatest aim was to exterminate the Jews of Europe. Iran's greatest aim is to exterminate the Jewish state. The West dismissed Hitler as the Jews' problem. The West dismisses Iran as Israel's problem. Nazi Germany hated the West and its freedoms. The Islamic Republic of Iran hates the West and its freedoms. Germany sought to dominate Europe. Iran seeks to dominate the Middle East and the Muslim world. And just as Britain and France appeased Nazi Germany, the same two countries, along with the United States, have chosen to appease Iran. In fact, there's considerably less defense for the Iran agreement, which awards Iran $150 billion in currently frozen assets and the right to keep its nuclear program, than there was for the Munich Agreement. Prior to 1938, Hitler had not publicly proclaimed his aim to annihilate Europe's Jews. Yet Iran has been proclaiming its intention to annihilate the Jewish state for decades. There were no massive death to America demonstrations in Germany, as there regularly are in Iran. In 1938, Germany had not been responsible for terror around the world, as Iran is now. Nor was Germany responsible for the death of more than 1,000 Americans, as Iran has been in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Lebanon. The Neville Chamberlains of 2015 defend the agreement with Iran on two grounds, that the only alternative is war, and that this agreement has the capacity to bring Iran into the, quote, community of nations. The war argument is a falsehood for three reasons. First, the alternative to this agreement was continuing and tightening the sanctions that were weakening the Iranian regime and greatly diminishing its ability to fund terror groups around the world. Second, because the agreement so strengthens Iran, it makes war far more likely. When evil expansionist regimes get richer, they don't spend their wealth on building new hospitals. They expand. Third, Iran has been at war with America for decades. And whoever believes that the agreement will bring Iran into the, quote, community of nations, betrays a breathtaking ignorance of the Iranian regime. The Iranian regime is composed of religious fanatics who are morally indistinguishable from ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, and all the other mass-murdering Islamist movements. The Iranian regime has executed more people than any country except China and killed more than 6,000 Iranians just for being homosexual. A woman in Iran is not allowed to leave the country without the permission of her husband. The Iranian regime repeatedly calls for the extermination of Israel. No other country in the world is committed to annihilating another country. Iran is already the world's greatest funder of terror organizations. Imagine what it will do with another $150 billion. Imagine what it will do with the removal of the current weapons and missile embargo. Imagine what it will do with its intact nuclear infrastructure. This deal allows all three. Very few people have a chance to do something about the greatest evil of their time. When it votes on this agreement, the American Congress has that chance. I'm Dennis Prager.
There you go. Does that help a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy can really explain things, but it is scary, and I hope that people will understand the severity of this and how important it is to at least be informed before you take an opinion. You know, it's not about Democrats and Republicans. It's not about liberals and conservatives. It's about saving ourselves from catastrophe.
Yeah.
So that's that. Elon Musk and Stephen. Elon Musk is the CEO of
Tesla.
Yeah, and he and Stephen Hawking, who is the one of the greatest scientists of all time, are warning us over killer robots. And what they're talking about is artificial intelligence, you know. And they're saying that sooner rather than later, we're going to see robots and machines in war. And they're saying this could be very dangerous, you know, because it would revolutionize war, they're saying. And I don't think we need that. I don't think we need any more than we have already.
Yeah.
So so they're warning about that, you know. But they're saying a global arms race is virtually inevitable if any major power pushes ahead with AI weapons development, which is artificial intelligence. So this was an open letter presented at the International Joint Conferences on Artificial Intelligence. And they're saying the stakes are high, you know. They call it autonomous weapons. I guess weapons that can make decisions.
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, so that's kind of scary. If anybody's seen Terminator and some of these movies, The Matrix.
Like iRobot.
Yeah. iRobot, that was with Will Smith, right?
Yeah.
Have I seen that? I don't think I've seen it. But yeah, there's been a few movies on that. There was AI by Steven Spielberg, but that wasn't about that.
Right.
It was about, yeah, I don't know. So anyway, I guess we should listen to everybody who's got things to say. There's also an article on what causes bad breath. Do you sometimes go around people that have bad breath?
Sometimes.
Yeah. It's not pleasant, right?
No.
It's about as bad as when someone farts. And but then you realize right away, if someone has bad breath, they're not taking care of their mouth. There's not enough hygiene going on. And I definitely, I don't know how people can not floss. I mean, I floss once a day, and there's, I mean, you can tell there's stuff between your teeth that has to be taken out, because if not, it just hardens and becomes what they call tartar, and then you know, you have to have it removed at the dentist. And these things create a lot of bacteria, and they create bad breath. So
what does the article say?
Well, they are saying that, you know, it's poor hygiene. Let's see. If you don't brush or floss daily, food particles remain in there. There you go, you know. So they're saying even brush the tongue, which I never done before.
Oh, I was taught that as
really?
A child. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, bad breath has to do with diet, too.
It probably does, yeah. It has to do with food as well. Depends on what you eat, obviously.
Right.
And but they're saying it, most of it is resulting from the mouth, you know, with something that you have in your mouth. So, yeah. I mean, even when I'm half asleep, I floss my teeth because just being aware of what could happen in there. You go, you know, you got to take care of your teeth, man, because God knows when you don't have teeth, you can't eat what you like, you can't do anything, and you should definitely take care of that. So they're saying that bad breath can go along with high fever and stuff. You know, they're saying you gotta go to a doctor because the bad breath is probably not a normal thing.
So it's a symptom of a fever, or you're saying...
No. What I'm saying is that it could be part of a more serious medical...
Got it.
...condition. Yeah. All right. Well, that's that. Just one more thing. I guess in Florida, they had a homicide where three people were murdered in their home. And they're saying this was probably a ritualistic killing, some kind of a witchcraft, because of the way the bodies were found.
How were they found?
They were found in their home, and but the condition of the body was that the throats were slit, and they each had been hit by a claw hammer. So, but I guess maybe, you know, they were arranged in a way that suggested some kind of a ritual. You know, it's not like they just dropped on the floor after being shot or something.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. So that's pretty scary, and. Yeah, you got to be careful out there. That's why I want to thank Jason Hansen for giving us some information. Try to catch his course if you're in L.A., August 28th, 29th, and go to his website and check it out. The course is called Spy, Escape, and Evasion, and I'll bet you it's a lot of fun.
I bet you it is, that it's really informative.
You're right.
And useful.
And I'm definitely going to try and go that weekend. So that's it for today, folks. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.